The Sultan of Sizzle. The Titan of Toastiness. The Kingpin of Kindling. These are the admired ones. Those who've created the prime place together. They don't just have a backyard. They have the backyard. Because they know a solo stove fire pit is more than just the ultimate smokeless fire pit. It's a place where friendships are forged, football is revered, and food is enjoyed. Solo Stove, the perfect flame for the big game.
Your fever is high and the pressure to log in at work is too. But when you finally decide to take care of you, there's Instacart. Just because that one perfect coworker of yours is attending all meetings, camera on while she's sneezing, coughing and aching, doesn't mean you have to do the same. Take it from us. Trying to stay on top of things will only get you further behind. Instead, get everything from tissues and teas to cough suppressants and comforting soups delivered through Instacart in as fast as 30 minutes. If anyone needs anything, they can just redirect their questions to that one perfect coworker of yours.
Alrighty, way we go. Hour number three of our radio program. That's right. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Very busy day, obviously, coming off both conference championship games with the Baltimore Ravens. It's just the same old, same old. You could have a great regular season, but then come playoff time, the offense does not perform to the level that they're capable of. Todd Monken and Lamar Jackson clearly had very poor performances yesterday. And then for Kansas City, it was not pretty in the second half. Their offense was basically begging the Baltimore Ravens to get back in the game. But that defense, play in and play out, they just kept on making enormous plays in the game. And they made Lamar Jackson look the farthest thing from the MVP. We know that the MVP is a regular season award. So don't tell me that Dan Campbell lost Coach of the Year yesterday or Lamar Jackson lost the MVP yesterday. What goes on in the postseason is irrelevant for those regular season awards, but those are the two biggest storylines, I thought, from Conference Championship Sunday. It was the Ravens' offense with Lamar not being ready, and then on the other side, it was the decision-making by Dan Campbell, which was just a absolutely brutal, and I mean brutal, second-half performance by the Detroit Lions. And we could talk about the decision-making until we are blue in the face. When you take a look back at being up by 14 and not taking the field goal, I was okay with that. A lot of other people will disagree. But then the second go around, when you have blown the lead and now you are down by three, it is just inconceivable to me how you didn't elect to take the field goal to tie up that game. And you got to tie up that game in that spot. And they failed to do that. And from there, you know, the Niners get a touchdown. They go up by 10. And then it was turn out the lights. The party is over. So the decision-making by Dan Campbell was really bad. And then on the other side, when you look at the Baltimore Ravens, this is the first time I think it's valid. And there's enough of a sample size, the shortcomings in the postseason, where you can now get on him. Because you could use other excuses in the past. They were on the road. You know, it's not enough sample size. When you were at home and you played basically one good half in two playoff games, that's just inexcusable. It's inexcusable, especially when you are the MVP of the league and this Kansas City team was being viewed as a vulnerable football team this year. And Kansas City, I was in the locker room afterwards. They even talked about it. They didn't give up hope. But a month ago, this was not likely that they were going to go to the Super Bowl. But here you are. Kansas City is back in that spot. Now joining us, of course, is a longtime talk show host. Now does a great job for DraftKings. And that is Mike Golic, kind enough to join us right here on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Mike, appreciate the time. Thanks so much for giving us a few minutes. How are you?
I'm doing well, doing well. Bittersweet, I guess, because we only have one football game left and then we're in the offseason. And that's like a sorrowful time for everybody.
Yeah, so you've been in the media game for a long time. Yeah. You know how much of a zoo Super Bowl week can be. I can't even imagine where how many fools basically just act like fools on opening night, what it's going to be like, especially when you have the Taylor Swift factor in this.
Man, now luckily she's not going to be around until the game, so you won't have to deal with any of that. And we're used to dealing with Kansas City. You know, they've been there before. Certainly San Francisco was there a few years ago, but this is a kind of the matchup. Though I did pick Baltimore. I thought they were going to win that game, and boy, what a game that was for the Kansas City defense, really the Baltimore defense as well. But yeah, Super Bowl week is always crazy. The week now too, the bowl before is turning into a crazy week as well, but looking forward to it. Then sure, why not be in Vegas? So any money I made this year, I'll blow it at the blackjack table.
Yeah, Dan Campbell probably hits on 19, I would say, right, when he's at the blackjack table?
How about it?
I'll get back to Kansas City, but since I just made the joke about Campbell, where did you stand with this decision-making yesterday, especially in the second half?
There's three plays. I know the people that are talking the most about it would be the two fourth down plays. And those weren't the ones that I thought were the egregious mistake. Now, I could have gone either way. I know Dan is a go for it on fourth down 34% of the time, way more than anybody else in the NFL. 18 times he's made it on fourth and three or less. And he's consistent. You know, we sit there and talk about blackjack table. If the deal is showing seven or higher and I have 16, I'm hitting every single time. I'm consistently going to do that. Now, for Dan and these situations, I think they can be different. The first one in the third quarter, what, about 7 minutes ago in the third quarter, why I could have seen kicking the field goal, it would have been a shorter field goal, I think about 45 yards or so. It would have put them up three scores. That's what I looked at, because they were up two scores, 24-10, could have gone 27-10 and been up three scores, but they didn't. Okay. And a drop pass, I believe, on that one as well. Fourth quarter, now you're down three. Would have been a 55-yarder. Would have been a longer one. Badgley only kicked in four games this year, and he hadn't made an outside field goal past 40 yards, or he was 1 for 3 in the last, I think, year and a half on outdoor field goals over 40. And that would have been a 55-yarder. But that would have tied it up. So I understand, and more importantly, the players get it as well. The egregious one to me, and the one I can't justify, is when you're at the 2-yard line with a little over a minute to go. You have all three of your timeouts. You're trying the three timeouts. The currency that holds for you is greater than just about anything, because what it does, if you score, it effectively lets you kick off into the end zone. You don't have to onside kick it, because nobody recovers an onside kick anymore. The odds are ridiculously against you. So why they ran a ball with about a minute to go on the 2-yard line, I have no idea. You can't justify any former player, analyst, anybody that tries to justify it to me. I can't go with it. You pass the ball, pass the ball, pass the ball. Get in the end zone that way. That way you have your three timeouts left. You can kick the ball off. Now you can use your timeouts, stop them on defense, and get one more chance for a field goal to tie. That, to me, was the most egregious one. That's a Ben Johnson call, but Dan Campbell's a head coach. He can get in the headphones of Ben and say, listen, pass the ball. Do not run it. We do not want to waste a timeout if we don't make it. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, especially when you take that timeout. Like, I don't think they should have ran the ball there anyway. But if you do, you got to have your next play ready to go, because once you call that timeout, as you just saw, like, even if Detroit makes the stop with the way that the clock was with about a minute left, you basically ended the game there once you didn't recover the onside kick.
Then the problem with running a play and having a next one ready to go is, me as a former defensive player, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen there. We are going to lay on you, and we're going to be really slow getting up. And it's a mosh pit down there by the goal line, so there's a lot of bodies involved. So it's going to take a long time, if you're a defensive player, to get up out of that pile. You may slip and fall back on the pile. You try not to go too long where the refs are going to stop the clock, but they're going to bleed the clock. I just do not see a scenario of running that ball. And I've heard people say, well, it was there. If they had one block here, then it was there. Well, you know what it wasn't? It wasn't there. If I had two more numbers right on the lot on the Powerball, I wouldn't be talking to you right now. But it didn't happen. So the guy didn't get the block, and you didn't get in, and you wasted that timeout.
Mike Golic here with us. Great analogies all around. We go from blackjack, we go to the Powerball. It's all setting up for Mike and I to lose a lot of money in Vegas coming up in 2 weeks. Also with Detroit, the thing that bugs me today is people go, Dan Campbell's just an aggressive coach. And I like aggressiveness. I don't think it's all, you have to be passive. Like, it takes a special person to turn around, an aggressive person to turn around this Lions franchise. But when you're 30 minutes away from a Super Bowl, I'm not saying you get passive, but you just got to be smart. And I just thought his decision-making at times yesterday was just too stupid.
So I think analytics has become the F word of sports, right? And we say analytics. Analytics have been around forever. When I was playing, that was our game plan. Analytics told me on 2nd and 7+, they run X amount of plays out of this formation. We had analytics. We need to throw out the word analytics and say information. Mm-hmm. So the information in this situation may say to go for it, but I see baseball managers do this as well. There are analytics, again, information in baseball, but there's still a gut, right? You don't, just because it says it doesn't mean you have to do it, because situations are different in every single game and in every game, depending on the time of game, third quarter, fourth quarter, first quarter, whatever. So that's why I could have seen kicking the field goal. It doesn't mean you're not aggressive. This isn't winning points for machoism, and that's not what Dan Campbell's trying to do. He is just trying to say we're going to stay aggressive and always try and get the 7, not the 3. And the most important thing, Zach, is the fact that the players understand that. The players aren't surprised by that. The players in Kansas City aren't surprised on a 3rd and 9 when you would run the ball, everybody else would, to make the other team burn a timeout, that Andy Reid's going to throw a pass to get a first down, which is what he did. So players aren't surprised, and that's the most important thing. But I still think there can be decisions that are made. It doesn't mean, oh, he lost his aggressiveness. No, he's playing this situation. This situation in the third quarter would have got them up 3 scores if you kicked the field goal. This situation in the fourth quarter would have tied the ball game for them if he kicked the field goal. So it's just information gathering, and then what do you do with that information?
And but you know what? Here's the thing. I know that we usually say, you know, there's analytics, and I'm with you. You got to trust your gut more so than the numbers. I think Campbell's gut, though, also told him to go for it in those spots.
Oh, I'm sure it did. I mean, that, and maybe he'll learn from it. Maybe he won't. He says he doesn't regret it, and that's cool. Because, listen, one of those fourth downs, it hit the player right in the hands.
Yeah. I mean,
you got to make the catch, okay? The other fourth down was somewhat ugly on a rollout, and the ball landed in space. So one could have worked, but that's the odds you're playing. So he's going to stay aggressive, but I do think there is room for interpretation given different situations during different times of the game.
You know, I've never really seen a player, Mike Golic, like Brock Purdy, who all the guy does is win. And I've been guilty of this. You know, I've called him a game manager, and I don't mean that in a negative way. He did a little bit more, obviously, than game managing yesterday, so I got to give him his credit like that. But it's weird that he's, like, turned into a very polarizing player, and I think it's actually the best thing for the Niners, because when it's Super Bowl or bust, it's tough to find some rallying points. Every player in that locker room, they believe in him, and they're trying to prove the entire world wrong about Brock Purdy.
It's amazing. My son and I on our show on DraftKings had Richard Sherman on the show. And Richard Sherman said it right. He said, everybody loves an underdog story except for Brock Purdy. This guy's Mr. Irrelevant. He's come in and plays well. And it's like some people don't want to give him his due. I mean, remember Kurt Warner? What a great, they made a movie called The Underdog. I mean, my God, you know, I mean, you almost couldn't have been more of an underdog than Kurt. Here's Mr. Irrelevant, you know, in a game, you know, playing against, you know, first round quarterbacks and performing well. Now, granted, he's got a good cast around him, but still, I covered him when I was calling college games when he was at Iowa State, and always from the neck up made smart decisions. Now, for Westwood One, I called the game against Green Bay a couple of weeks ago when he didn't play well. And was that rust? I don't know. Remember, he had 19 days off because he didn't play in week 18. So he was off in that game, the entire game. And in this game, he was off in the first half, 7 of 15 for 93 yards, under 50%. But he made some of the throws when he had to. So how do you not give this guy credit? And talk about a scary moment. How about the championship game last year when he gets his arm hit against the Eagles and he's knocked out of the game? This year, the one interception he throws, Josh Pascal from Detroit, hits him right in the hand. And how many times have we seen quarterbacks get a busted hand or a broken thumb in a situation like that? I thought, oh, my God, it's going to happen again. Luckily for them, for San Francisco, all it was an interception. But, yeah, he deserves credit. Now, does he have talent around him? Yes. But name me a team where you don't have talent around you. You know, I mean, that's just good team building by John Lynch and that management group with the 49ers. So that this guy deserves a ton of credit. And his two runs, we thought Lamar was going to be the guy that you would have to stop running the ball. It happened to be two big runs by Brock Purdy that helped seal the game for him.
And I find it funny. Everyone freaks out about the game management conversation with Brock Purdy, but I was talking to Mahomes after the game yesterday, and I just asked him about his defense, and he goes, I learned this year when the defense is rolling, I just got to manage the game and not make turnovers. Right. So it's funny. The best quarterback right now that's playing on the planet could say he was a game manager yesterday. Nobody cares, but with Brock Purdy, it's all, is he a game manager or is he a franchise quarterback?
You don't have to be Mahomes the magician when your defense is playing like that. Right now, would you still like to be up 3 touchdowns?
Absolutely.
Certainly you would. But, I mean, think about it. 17-7 at half. That game in the second half, the Chiefs offense got shut out. It was 3-0 Baltimore in the second half. That's how well the defenses were playing in that game. So Mahomes is right. When your defense is dealing, I mean, things are going to make you look even better. Go back to Tom Brady winning the Super Bowl in Tampa Bay. They don't even reach the Super Bowl if their defense isn't incredible during the earlier rounds of the playoffs to get them to the Super Bowl. Even the early years of Tom Brady winning Super Bowls, that was more the defense than the offense. But it's always the quarterback that we count the rings with, which I think is somewhat ridiculous to say, well, how many rings does he have? We don't ask that about Jerry Rice, you know, or the greatest at other positions. It's always the quarterback.
Well, going off that conversation with the quarterback, what does Lamar need to change? What do the Ravens need to change so when they could actually win a Super Bowl? Because this one, this is the one where I have to turn Lamar, and I've been a big Lamar supporter. You're at home, right? The Chiefs are vulnerable. They're in your building, and you've had two playoff games in your building in this run, and you only played one good half of football.
So I put some of this because it's rarely one person that causes anything. Now, Lamar certainly didn't play like the MVP he's going to win. And I heard you talking before, and you're right. It's a regular season award. He deserves the award and doesn't go into the postseason. So, you know, don't start saying, oh, he doesn't deserve the award. Yes, he does for the regular season. But there's more people here to blame for mistakes. You had defensively, you had veterans and Patrick Queen and Roquan Smith and Jadeveon Clowney with dumb 15-yard continued drive penalties for Kansas City. You had Zay Flowers. Do you want to say he's a rookie so you give him a pass? Getting up on a big catch, spinning the ball right next to a guy and doing the crab right next to him.
Yeah.
You're going to get called. Now, do I think you should be able to do that stuff? Hell yes. It's professional football.
But they're the rules.
Go ahead. But you're not allowed. And that's the rule, so you have to follow the rules. Don't do that. And it's a cardinal sin, not in the goal line, on a goal line play, but where he caught that ball. Do not reach the ball out for the goal line unless it's fourth down and you have to get in. And he did, and L'Jarius Sneed punched it out. It was a great job. But I'll even go to the coaching staff. Todd Monken has been phenomenal for Lamar Jackson
this
year.
They got away from the identity, though.
How you're the number one rushing team in the NFL. That helps Lamar. Not only is he part of that, but it helps him in play action as well. You run Justice Hill and Gus Edwards 3 times each. And this game isn't a blowout. It's not like you have to leave your – look at San Francisco. They were down 17, and the mix of pass and run was still only a difference of 2. So they stuck to their game plan even down that much. Baltimore wasn't down that much. How do you go away from the run? That was your identity all year long. That, to me, was a monster mistake by Baltimore.
It was almost as if it was arrogance from Baltimore, where they were trying to win a specific way, but not the bright way. And it doesn't matter how pretty it looks or what people say. As long as you win, that's all I care about this time of the year.
No, that's exactly right. I don't know what the reasoning was. You know, I find it hard to believe, you know, coaches who have been around for a while are going to have that attitude of, we're going to try, we'll show you, we don't have to even do it the best way we've been doing it to beat you. I highly doubt they're thinking that, but I'd love to know the thought process, because Gus Edwards in his 3 carries was averaging over 6 yards a carry. I mean, how do you not keep going with that? Even if you get stuffed, you get stuffed, then you bust one, you go for 2 yards. 2 yards, then you get six, then you get three, then you get one, then you get 15, you know, then you bust one here and there. I am amazed that they gave up Lamar. Listen, Lamar held on to the ball too long in the pocket. Now, give Kansas City credit. Spagnuolo had a lot of pressure and blitz looks on Lamar. And the third part of being a running back failed for Baltimore. There's running the ball, there's catching a pass, and there's picking up a blitz. And they did not do a good job of picking up the blitz with their blocking at all. Give Kansas City credit for that. So Lamar was hanging on the ball for a long time in the pocket, and kudos to Kansas City in their coverage, but he would start running a little late in some of these and wasn't getting the yards he's used to getting. It was not a great game for Lamar. It was not a great game for some of the experienced defensive players, and I don't think it was a great game for the offensive coordinator, Todd Monken, either.
Last thing I'll ask you, Mike Golic, you've seen a lot of quarterbacks. You've been doing this for a long time. How far are you willing to go with what you've already seen out of Lamar Jackson? I mean, out of Patrick Mahomes.
Well, I mean, there are those that are saying he's the GOAT already. I mean, come on. We got to get a little bit of longevity to this, okay? I mean, we have to. Now, what he's done in the beginning of his career, he's already in the Hall of Fame. You know, I call the games at Westwood One in the Super Bowl. I'll be working the sideline with Laura Oakman, and the booth will be Kevin Harlan and Kurt Warner. And after last year's Super Bowl, we were with Kansas City and Philly. We were riding back after the game, and we were talking with Kurt about it because, you know, this is Kurt talking about quarterbacks in a Hall of Fame. And he said, listen, he said, Pat Mahomes has already surpassed what I ever did. He's a Hall of Famer, and this was last year he said it, right now. So he's just adding to it right now. So now it's going for where does he end up all time. I'm not going as far as he's the greatest quarterback of all time at this point. I mean, that to me is knee-jerk reaction, living in the moment right now. Let's give some credit to quarterbacks who have played a long, long time. You know, have some longevity their career and success throughout it. He's had a ton of success early in his career, and now, you know, five, six years into his career has been incredible. And he is a Hall of Famer right now, without question. But I'm gonna pull the reins a little bit on the greatest of all time. Now, he's putting himself in conversations with that. But does anybody who sits there and say he's the greatest quarterback of all time right now, I'm going to definitely push back on that one a bit.
And I agree. But the question is then, where is he right now? Like, is he already top five to you?
We sit here and we do this. We forget about the Johnny Unitases of the world. You know, that's a thing, especially the younger generation. They'd have to Google some of these people. Do we just throw all them out? You know, where's Dan Marino still in this? Because he only went to one Super Bowl and never won one. You know, it's such an opinionated, subjective thing on what you're looking for in a quarterback. Is he one of the most athletic quarterbacks and magical quarterbacks with how he can get rid of a ball we've ever seen? Without a doubt. Like, Steph Curry will go down not as the greatest NBA player of all time, but the greatest shooter of all time. And he'll go up, push up the ranks as far as greatest NBA player, but he's not going to be that, but he's going to be the greatest shooter. So Mahomes may get to greatest quarterback of all time, but right now he's probably one of the greatest, if not greatest, playmaker out of that position. I'm so bad at where you rank because I think we leave out quarterbacks from decades and decades ago that people just don't know how to rank them with the quarterback of today because they're not the athletes of today.
He is Mike Golic. Make sure you check him out, DraftKings analyst. And also, I'd be remiss if I don't say check out the Gridiron Greats. I know Mike does some great work with them, and they have a great Super Bowl party coming up that's for a great cause. Gridiron Greats, and then also on behalf of Southern Recipes and the fine folks with pork rinds, Mark Singleton, our buddy with Rudolph Food. So, Mike, we'll see you out in Vegas. Appreciate it.
Sounds good. I'll be at the blackjack table.
You got it. There he is, Mike Golic, joining us on the Zach Gilb Show on CBS Sports Radio. I know we're overdue for a break. Let's take one. We'll come on back after these short messages.
The Sultan of Sizzle, the Titan of Toastiness, the Kingpin of Kindling. These are the admired ones, those who've created the prime place together. They don't just have a backyard, they have the backyard, because they know a Solo Stove fire pit is more than just the ultimate smokeless fire pit. It's a place where friendships are forged, football is revered, and food is enjoyed. Solo Stove, the perfect flame for the big game.
When the whole family comes together to watch the game, nobody wants to miss a second of the action to run to the grocery store. With Instacart, you can get all your weekly groceries in as fast as an hour. Less time shopping means more game time. Let's go. Visit Instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
A peanut butter M&M's production.
In a world where Super Bowl winners get the world's admiration and a fancy ring, but the runners-up get nothing, one retired cop returns...
That's one retired quarterback. Read the script.
Oh, sorry. One retired quarterback returns to claim what's his.
That's claim a ring with diamonds made from M&M's peanut butter. But you're on a roll.
The Ring of Comfort, coming soon to a Super Bowl near you.
Every year, one thing is always predictable. Postage costs go up. Stamps.com gives you crazy discounts of up to 89% off USPS and UPS services, so your business will barely notice the change. Stamps.com has been indispensable for over 1 million businesses just like yours. It's like your own personal post office. No lines, no traffic, no waiting. Sign up with promo code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com code PROGRAM.
I just got a very interesting tweet. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Adam Thompson, 09 on Twitter, tweets me. He goes, Lamar Jackson is James Harden. So I guess I kind of understand the analogy. Great regular season player, but horrible postseason player. The only thing is, I'm not ready to go there. Like, I understand where it's going to be no matter what James Harden does in the regular season, it's irrelevant until he wins an NBA championship. And James Harden is going to the Hall of Fame. But I do think individually, in a short sample size, Lamar has been better than James Harden in the regular season. Like, James Harden has MVP. Lamar Jackson's now going to have two MVPs. And you could still argue he still has another, what, 10 years remaining in his career, you know, if he stays healthy. But that's the thing that's going to follow Lamar after this just crushing and terrible performance in the AFC Championship game. No one is going to believe Lamar is going to win a Super Bowl until he does now. And I know you could say it shouldn't all fall on the quarterback, and Mike Golic is right, where it's not all on the quarterback. But you know it and I know it. Each and every Monday when we walk into the studio, the head coach or the quarterback are the two biggest talking points. And Harbaugh, he kind of got a pass yesterday. He shouldn't, because his team in his own building had no life. Absolutely no life in that game. But not only that, it is... the coaching side of it, because of how bad the offense was, and Harbaugh's more of an overseer, Monken was just brutal in his approach. To barely run the ball, to not only barely run the ball, but not even use the short passing game and more screens. But you know this, and I know this, 9 times out of 10, the quarterback usually takes the brunt of the criticism. And when you are the quarterback of the Baltimore Ravens, you are now about to win two MVPs, and... let's just be real about it. You no-show in the AFC Championship game. And like we were talking about earlier with the Lions, right? Would you rather just get blown out from the start, or would you rather have that lead and then just not find a way to lose? I mean, not find a way to win? You know, that's one thing. But in the case of Lamar, they didn't really ever have a shot, but they were still in the game. Like, there was never a moment in that game where you're like, okay, I believe the Ravens are coming back. But you looked up at the scoreboard, and it was 17-7. You just score one touchdown there, that building starts to get jumping, and Kansas City, and we all know Mahomes could do it, but Kansas City did nothing in that second half. So who are you more disappointed in, Lamar Jackson no showing yesterday or Dan Campbell's decision-making? 62.8% say Lamar Jackson compared to 37.2% Dan Campbell. You could chime in on that poll question at Zach Gelb, at CBS Sports Radio. I'm disappointed in both, but I'm more disappointed in Lamar, because even though we discuss how it's the most demoralizing way to lose when you're up big and then you can't get the job done. At least the Lions, even though Dan Campbell made some dumb decisions in the second half, at least now it's going to work the reverse way for the poll question. At least they were in it. At least they showed up for a half. You know, at least they were there for 30 minutes. The Ravens were there for one drive where they got a touchdown that tied up the game at 7. Outside of that, they weren't there on Sunday in the AFC Championship game. All righty, we'll come on back. We'll end the show out in style with a little onside, offside. Stu's got some questions for me. I'll give him some answers to wrap up the show. Update time first, though. Let's go to Erica Herskowitz. All righty, it's time to answer Ask the Pros question of the day, and it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Jake in Rochester says, Zach, do you have an early gambling play in the Super Bowl? I do. You could submit a question by tweeting at CBS Sports Radio, at Zach Gelb, using the hashtag Ask the Pros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. So I gave you yesterday a plus 350, an anytime touchdown parlay of Brandon Ayuk and Jahmyr Gibbs. That is hit. I'm going back to the well for the Super Bowl. I'm going to do an anytime touchdown parlay. You know Kelce scoring a touchdown. And I'm then going to have another tight end, George Kittle, who won me some money earlier in this postseason. I'm going to have him getting an anytime touchdown as well. So that's going to be a same game parlay. Kelce and Kittle both to score a touchdown in the Super Bowl. It's at plus 411. I threw $100 down in it this morning. So that would pay out $511.98. I'm going Kelce and Kittle at plus 411. All righty, this is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Stu's got some questions for me. I'll try to give you some answers. We call this segment Onside Offside. We do it every Monday and Friday right here on CBS Sports Radio.
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
All righty, Stu. What do we got cooking today, pal?
All right, we'll stick with the Super Bowl matchup for the first question. So following yesterday's games, the 49ers opened up as a 2.5-point favorite over the Chiefs in Super Bowl 58. And since then, the line has dropped a little bit. San Francisco currently favored by 1.
That's crazy. Overnight, 1.5.
Whole 1.5, yeah. Oh, onside, offsides, you think the 49ers should be the favorites over the Chiefs?
So this is not me saying that I believe the 49ers are going to win the game. I do lean one way or another. But when you objectively look at making a spread, the 49ers have been the better team throughout the season than the Kansas City Chiefs are. So I say onsides, I understand why the 49ers are the favorite, and they should be the favorite in this one. That doesn't mean I'm going to bet them. That does not mean I think that they are going to win the game. But when I was sitting there yesterday and I found out, right, the Lions lose, they choke. 49ers win. Kansas City beat the Baltimore Ravens. Thinking about the spread, I go, oh, this could go either way. Niners have been better team throughout the season, so I thought they'd be a few point favorite, and that's what they ended up being. So the 49ers should be the favorite of the Chiefs. I will go onside on that one.
All right. It was a very bad 10-minute span for Zay Flowers yesterday in the second half, in which ended with a fumble through the end zone and a lacerated finger from slamming his hand on the bench. But right before that, he got flagged for a 15-yard penalty for taunting Legarius Sneed after a long catch. Onside, offsides, the NFL taunting rules should be eliminated for the playoffs.
This is offside. I'm not against celebrating. I'm not against having fun on a football field. But you can't stand directly over an opponent. You just can't. There has to be some rules, because if you don't have any taunting, then what happens if you start pushing and shoving another player and you provoke them and do something like that? There has to be some rules when it comes to taunting. I think the refs can be lenient with them. But what Zay Flowers did yesterday was really stupid. It was a dumb move by Zay Flowers. You just can't do that. So I'm not going to sit here because a player makes a dumb decision and now say, oh, we got to get rid of the taunting rules. So NFL taunting rules should be eliminated in the playoffs? Absolutely not. Offside.
Offside.
Over the weekend, it was revealed that the Eagles have a new offensive coordinator following the departure of Brian Johnson.
Look at you wording that so nicely. Following the departure. They fired his ass.
They did fire him.
You're an amicably part ways guy. That's what you are still.
That sounds about right. So they fired Brian Johnson, and now it apparently is Kellen Moore who will be the next hire. As Cowboys OC from 2019 to 2022, Moore's offense ranked in the top four in points per game at 27.7, yards per game at 391, and third down conversion percentage at 44% during that span. Onside, offsides, hiring Kellen Moore as offensive coordinator is a good fit for Jalen Hurts' style.
So I don't think there's a more overrated offensive mind in football than Kellen Moore. And I know what Stu just gave me all the stats. But this guy, right, he was supposed to get a head coaching job. They end up moving on from him in Dallas, and the Cowboys' offense got better. He goes to the Chargers. I know you could blame a lot of it on Brandon Staley, but they basically did nothing last year. So bringing in Kellen Moore as an OC is a good fit for Jalen Hurts' style. I will go offside, and the reason why is because I think the idea of Kellen Moore is extremely overrated. Now, when you're a coach on the hot seat, it's slim pickings who you could bring in as your coordinator. I guess if you want to take the best out of the worst that are available, then okay, Kellen Moore at least is respected and hyped up around the league. But I don't think all of a sudden this means just because Jalen Hurts turns it around, this is because of Kellen Moore. It's because Jalen Hurts is a good football player that just had an up and down season a year ago. So I'm not going to sit here now and say that Kellen Moore is going to be the reason and he's going to be the best fit to turn it around with Jalen Hurts. I'm going to go offside on that one.
Offside.
Sticking with OC news, the Bills will reportedly keep Joe Brady. Actually, they won't reportedly. They will keep him as their man as he took over for the fired Ken Dorsey midseason. Now, after Joe Brady took over in week 11, Allen's rushing increased with 48 carries through the first 10 games. That jumped up to 83 in the final nine games. And his interceptions per attempt also went down from 3.1% to 2.3%. So onsides, offsides, keeping Brady as the OC was the right move for the Bills.
I don't think it was the wrong move, so I'll go onsides on that. The team and the offense did get better. Josh Allen, at times, made better decisions. James Cook, who's going to join us tomorrow from the Buffalo Bills, had a monster season. I think they're starting to find a little bit of balance between them two. And also, like, let's just call it how it is. The Bills did this with a declining Stephon Diggs. And I know he gets paid as their number one wide receiver. I don't think he's the number one wide receiver anymore in the NFL. And I think the better days are behind Stephon Diggs. So I don't think, since they were able to find a way to recapture this, and you're going to bring McDermott back, I don't think you could have done a whole lot better than Joe Brady. Now, Joe Brady was one of those guys that when he was at LSU, lands at the NFL with the Carolina Panthers, right? He was supposed to be this next head coach in this league, and he hasn't progressed to that. But I think he did a fine job down the stretch, so I'm fine with them keeping Joe Brady as the OC with the Buffalo Bills. Onsides.
One last OC story. As the Steelers have interviewed former Falcons head coach Arthur Smith to fill their vacancy.
He annoyed me a lot this year, Arthur Smith.
While as Titans OC, he helped Ryan Tannehill win comeback player of the year honors and led the Titans to a 12th and second place finish in offense in 2019 and 2020, respectively. Onside, offsides, hiring Arthur Smith as OC would unlock Kenny Pickett's potential.
So I think Arthur Smith as a head coach was bad. He tried to, and what is frustrating about this is sometimes you bring in an offensive guy and they can't connect with the defense. Well, the defense was really good last year for Atlanta. But in offense, you had all these weapons and you didn't utilize them correctly. And it was almost as if Arthur Smith, kind of like what Todd Monken did, he's trying to prove a point yesterday and how they were going to win. Arthur Smith was trying to prove a point that Desmond Ridder was more than a game manager when he's not a good quarterback. So now you're bringing in Arthur Smith potentially just to be the offensive coordinator. You know, it is an upgrade from having Matt Canada because of what Arthur Smith has done before in the past in this league, and it's led him to getting a head coaching job. But I don't think it's going to unlock Kenny Pickett reaching his full potential because I think Kenny Pickett is just a guy in the NFL. I never think he's going to be the guy, even if you put him with a great offensive coordinator. So I don't believe just because you bring in Arthur Smith, assuming that's what they do, that would unlock Kenny Pickett to find a great level of play from him because I don't think Kenny Pickett is a great quarterback in this league. So I will go offside with the question. Hiring Arthur Smith as OC would unlock Kenny Pickett's potential.
Offside.
Right after our show on Friday, news came out that Michigan was promoting offensive coordinator Sherrone Moore to head coach to replace Jim Harbaugh. Onside's All Sides, Michigan will win a national title with Sherrone Moore as their head coach.
Well, now they go to 12 in the college football playoffs, so I think it makes it tougher. I think they're going to consistently be a national championship contender, but it is really damn tough to win a national championship. It will be now as open as it's ever been. I know Georgia's going to be the top dog in college football. Michigan now is without Jim Harbaugh as he's off to the Chargers. Nick Saban retired from Alabama, so they take a dent a little bit, even though I do believe Kalen DeBoer is a phenomenal coach. College football is open, but they just lost so many players that were a part of this championship team, so I have to see what the roster is going to be like moving forward. So you're basically asking me Sherrone Moore or the field each and every year. As much as I like the hire of Sherrone Moore and think it's the right hire, I'm going to take the field in this one. So you say Sherrone Moore will win a national championship at Michigan as their head coach. I will go offside, and I hope I'm dead wrong.
Offside.
The Lakers and Warriors battled it out on Saturday night in a double overtime game, which the Lakers won by a score of 145 to 144. Amazingly enough, it was the first matchup between LeBron and Steph-led sides in which neither of their teams were over 500 on this season. So onside, offside, both LeBron and Steph have won their final NBA titles.
So I'm going to answer this question with their current teams. Because, like, can Steph in 4 or 5 years still be a great shooter and latch on?
As a role player, is like the fourth best player.
Yeah, you know, LeBron, he'll always... I don't know if LeBron will ever do the role player kind of role. But I think Steph and LeBron have both won their final championships in Golden State and the Lakers. Like, LeBron, I could say that confidently in. And both of these guys weren't expected to win another title. Like, once KD left, not many people were picking the Warriors to win another title. When LeBron went to LA, no one was picking him to win a title. But with the Warriors, the reason why I have no more confidence that they're going to win another championship is they could have got out on Draymond Green. They didn't. Now they have a pending decision with Klay Thompson. And I do think they're going to let him go after this year, or they'll bring him back on a short-term deal. But I don't think that's really conducive to winning another championship. I just don't think this organization is ready to move forward. And they keep on wanting to pay guys for what they did in the past. And that's the wrong way to expand the championship window that should still be open for Steph Curry. So, yeah, I do believe on sides, both Steph and LeBron have won their final NBA titles with their current team. And finally.
And last one, sticking with the association. News came out over the weekend that Commissioner Adam Silver was nearing the extension that will keep him in the job past his 10-year anniversary.
Help us all.
Onsides, offsides, the NBA is in a better place since Silver began as commissioner in 2014.
Not in my opinion. Spineless Silver, the most overrated commissioner out of the four major sports. He has done one thing that was a great thing and was a right thing, and that was getting that pig Donald Sterling out of the league. Outside of that, he's afraid of the players. The players have all the power. Now you got to play 65 games to win an award, for crying out loud. You got players still load managing and sitting out big marquee games like Joel Embiid up against the Nuggets the other night. And also, he created this Fugazi in-season tournament because we need more participation trophies getting handed out. And we had to raise a championship banner in LA. Stu, you know what? You're a Lakers fan. You know what it's like to win.
I do.
That in-season tournament banner is a disgrace.
Fraudulent.
It's an absolute disgrace. So the NBA is in a better place since Adam Silver began as commissioner in 2014, maybe financially, but in terms of on the court play, no, that's a no from me. Offside.
Offside.
And I'm sure JJ Redick's already hitting up the hotline at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227 to tell us how great of a commissioner Adam Silver is and how I have an old school mentality, even though I'm younger than JJ Redick. Big thanks to Ross Tucker. Big thanks to Mike Golic. Big thanks to Stu Kovacs, Carlos Ortiz. Each and every one of you will be back tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Zach Gelb Show, we out. Have a great night. Bye-bye. Peace.
A Peanut Butter M&M's production.
In a world where Super Bowl winners get the world's admiration and a fancy ring, but the runners-up get nothing, one retired cop returns...
That's one retired quarterback. Read the script.
Oh, sorry. One retired quarterback returns to claim what's his.
That's claim a ring with diamonds made from M&M's peanut butter. But you're on a roll.
The Ring of Comfort, coming soon to a Super Bowl near you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you.
I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. 2024 Santa Fe, available early 2024.
Says here that Graybar is a distributor?
Yeah, we support electrical and datacom projects all over the country.
So you can get me the products I need, where and when I need them?
Yeah, thanks to our national logistics network.
Any industry?
Yeah, construction, industrial plants, schools, hospitals.
So you could say Graybar is much more than a distributor.
Yeah, you could say that. When you need a hand powering, connecting, or maintaining your operations, join the thousands of professionals who rely on Graybar to help keep them up and running. Yeah, Graybar does that.